Johnny Cash coming on, and it's from the Homegrown Island Bluegrass Show. It's always a tough one to tone down. Johnny Cash, so... But we just did it. Johnny, thank you. So this is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Canvas, Al Pastor Tacos, and we're going to hear about Grow Our Own Teachers.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Grow Our Own Teachers presents Ini Hanaialii Gilliam in concert, Sunday, December 7th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. and show starts at 7. This is a fundraiser for Grow Our Own Teachers Kauai, providing financial assistance to local public school teacher candidates. That's Ini Hanaialii Gilliam in concert, Sunday, December 7th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. General and reserve seating tickets available at outlets island-wide. More information and tickets online at growkauaiteachers.org.
And we want to give our disclaimer, making sure everybody knows this is just our show.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, this is Kauai Soapbox, and we've got Eric in the house.
Aloha.
And we even have another voice in here right now, that's Marshall.
Aloha.
There we go, and he's answering the phone. So there's a lot of different things that we're going to be talking about today. And on my Facebook page, I've kind of pre-listed a bunch of them in case people want to be looking up the different topics. We are expecting very soon in here a couple people from Kanui Kapono. They're having a great event this weekend, and so we are looking for that. Eric, how was your week?
My week's been pretty normal, just another week on Kauai. Weather's been pretty awesome. Moved into a new place this month, so... I'm just enjoying the new places here in Kauai. I mean, it's not really new to me, but, you know, living in a new spot's always nice. Middle of town, don't have to drive anywhere, trying to use less gas, use my bike more, closer to the beach, so I'm pretty stoked, I guess.
Wonderful. Hey, you know what? We've got this event coming up for Kanui Kapono this weekend. There's a lot of really great events, but we're going to have... people from the music festival coming up at Kanui Kapono. It'll be John Cruz, Liko Martin, Kaili'i Kanialii, Kavika Kahiopo, Stillwatch, The Quay, Kalalea, Ka'uhane, so many different people. Raquel and Grace, she should be in here any moment. And Rumba de Fuego, OCDC, My Own Kid, The Bootleggers.
Wow, when is this taking place?
This Saturday. It starts at... 12 o'clock, going until noon.
Oh, okay. All right. So, for today, as you know, this is an open show. This is an open talk show. We talk about what you guys want. So, if there's a subject that's kind of been bugging at you and you really want to talk about it, well, now's the time. You don't have to chat your neighbor's ear off while they're trying to get to work. So, you can call in. That's 826-7771. And we have open telephone lines, and we'll get you on the air, and we'll be talking about what you want to be talking about, because that's what it is, Kauai Soapbox Live, here for you.
That's right. So I've been watching a lot of different things going on. It's been really interesting with, like, right now we're in the Affordable Care Act time for health insurance. We've had the G20 Economic Summit coming on, the APEC, the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference, the Private Prince event.
There's been a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, so, and it's really interesting how everything keeps moving around and, creating a lot of concentration of wealth, you know, on the upper end. So we have a, you know, just from big parcels of property being built, you know, all kinds of things.
One funny note was when I was in Nagoya, Japan, I was staying at the Hilton, and I got kind of ruined on the price there. It was $300 for that one night that I wanted to stay there, but there was no other hotels out there, and a lot of them don't deal with foreigners, but I was forced, I had to get that one night, and then the next night when I was just checking the prices, it actually doubled in prices to over $600 for a regular room because the UN conference was being held there in Nagoya. So I guess a way to make sure that there's, I guess, less poor people around, they raise the prices in all the hotels. It's kind of crazy, but that's for the UN convention that was in Nagoya, Japan earlier this month.
What did you learn a lot when you were in Japan?
I did learn a lot about their culture, and one thing that's kind of funny is we hear how harsh their laws are and how extreme their laws are, and it's kind of scary to the average I guess American or foreigner, but as I met more people out there, I guess they're kind of just there to scare the tourists, keep the tourists in line. But I guess, you know, it works, because, I mean, we talk about their laws, but I learned a lot about their culture. It was an amazing place.
That's great. I think we have a caller on the air.
Hooray, it's about time.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Gary, Alicia.
Hey, Gary.
Hi. I wanted to talk about, you mentioned the G20
Summit?
Summit, yes.
Yes. And is your radio on? Can you turn your radio off?
My radio is off.
Okay. All right. So have you been focusing on this and paying attention to it?
Well, I've been focusing on some of the stuff, particularly on what's been happening with in the world with this supposed pandemic with Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
And also the plane that arrived here on Kauai that was been at our airport and then flying back and forth between here and Manaa. Anyway, I have a statement here from the G20 leaders, you know, on Ebola. It's specifically addressing that. And I'm going to try to address a couple of, you know, points just for your listening audience. And again here, and it says, we're deeply concerned about the Ebola outbreak in Guinea and Liberia. And it goes on that the members are committed to do whatever is necessary in international efforts. The one thing I wanted to get to is that we invite those governments that have not yet to do so to providing financial contributions. And basically what they want, while commending ongoing work, we urge greater efforts by researchers, regulators, and pharmaceutical companies to develop safe and affordable diagnostic tools, vaccines, and treatments. And now they've got the World Bank donating $300 million to do this. And the other dot I want to point out is that currently that there's a big push, plant-based vaccines, big challenge for pharmaceuticals. So basically what my opinion is that they are making vaccines here on the island of Kauai. And not seeds. And I think this is a big problem. And the GMO is one problem. But at the same time, we have, a class 3 biohazard labs making proteins and putting them in plants and that are going to be harvested. I can read the research that I have. It's, you know, on the Internet. They can make a vaccine in a month versus 6 months using eggs. This is the new technology, and it's coming to the island. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up for your listeners.
Okay, how do you know it's coming to the island? Help me understand that.
Okay, basically, if it's not already here, if you were to come into the island and you were to bring a plant, you know, spores, mold, dirt samples, seeds. You have to go through the Department of Agriculture and have an inspections. These companies are basically, they fly directly in. There is no search. There is no quarantine. There is nothing. They fly directly in. And they can bring in whatever, you know, virus molecules, bacteria they want, and goes directly to their labs for research at the same time. And what I'm saying is, through my own observations, which are whatever, as you can see, they have these plots of land growing throughout the island. However, if they're seed companies, then there should be corn. There should be the seed product. I see no seed, and then they're harvested. So they're being harvested for something else. They're being harvested for the proteins that the plants are creating that they needed in vaccines.
That's very interesting. We'll have to kind of research that and look into it and find out a little bit more for sure on that information. So thank you for calling that in.
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Okay. I appreciate you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, this is Felicia.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Felicia. A couple concerns. Within the last several weeks, I called many times the Department of Epidemiology, or the Health Department, basically, asking them if they were doing the temperature monitoring of our visitors, folks who got off the plane or whatever. And every time I called, I was not impressed with their level of competence, to say the least, and they just kept on putting me off. So I've yet to get a straight answer. Number two, because I've been researching Ebola the last few weeks, I found out that in 2007, the CDC patented the current strain of Ebola.
As patented? I understand, patented? That's what you said? They patented?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And somebody could look that up online and confirm what you're saying.
Well, yeah, you can look it up online.
Okay.
And as I understand it, the CDC is a, just like the Federal Reserve is, in some sense, a private corporation, sort of a federal private entity, whatever that would mean. Now, I found out that while no virus has ever dried out and then reconstituted itself in an airborne, and viable fashion, the Pentagon did different experiments where the Ebola virus was still viable, in sewer systems. This was like in the last 20 years. Now, because viruses are always evolving, I think that, we should, keep a head, heads up on this. Colds and flus, they're forms of virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that, that was Mr. Hoosier calling previously?
No, it was not.
Oh, someone else. Anyway, I think because, these folks in the GMO, they're actually growing drugs. And other entities within the quote-unquote, seeds. They're not growing food, of course. So all these issues greatly concern me. And I'm most concerned with the lack of competence at the level of government where these people in the Department of Health are supposed to be really looking out for us. And I think government does a lot of wonderful things, but I'm always concerned about the lack of competence within our government, and then the people who get paid these large sums of money, and they don't really seem to be that competent. And the last thing I wanted to raise was, I used to live in Berkeley in the early 70s, and we had quite a few food co-ops, and I would like to see somehow the laws change in our state so that we can have public food co-ops This is not to offend papayas or Vim and Vigor or any other natural health food store, but I think it's outrageous to pay the prices that they charge and to be subject to their business practices when, if we could change the laws, we could have, you know, very large and more pricey, you know, price available food sources, you know, natural and organic. So thank you, Felicia.
Okay, great. And that actually is a great segue for what we're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So in the studio now, we have Nestor and Raquel and Grace in here. And let me see if you guys are all mic'd up. Say hi, hi, hi.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Nestor. I'm here.
Hi, this is Raquel. This is Grace.
Right on. And so you guys are, Raquel and Grace, you guys are going to be playing this weekend at the Kanui Kapono event, correct?
Yeah, we have a festival coming up this weekend, the Ike Aina Festival, Saturday, November 22nd from 12 p.m. until pow. Could be 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. And I think of the word Ike as meaning knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be knowledge of the land.
That's it. Yep.
Knowledge of the land. And so the goal at Kanui Kapono, which is a Hawaiian charter school, Hawaiian culturally based charter school in Anahola.
Right. It's a school. It's a public charter school started back in 2002, where some of the early programs, officially like 2004, was when the school got going. So it's been around for about 12 years. It's done really, really well. It's been one of the more successful charter schools in the state. We're up to probably close to about 150 students. It's from kindergarten all the way till 12th grade. This particular festival we're doing this weekend is to raise funds and consciousness around taking care of the land, which is a very important aspect of the curriculum at Kanui Kapono. We use the indigenous ways of our elders to teach our children, along with the 21st century technology combined, to learn about life.
And when I look at the campus there, it's really grown.
Oh, my goodness. It's grown so much over the last 12 years.
And it's sort of beautifully situated there on the hill where you have this expansive view looking out at the ocean. And you wonder, how did anybody ever think the earth is flat when you see that clear curvature?
That's right.
When you're looking out at the ocean. And I think, you know, having done a lot with education, when you're learning in a place where your view is long and broad, your brain actually works
mm-hmm.
differently than when you're sitting in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's value at sitting in the room, and there's definitely value at looking expansively as you consider what you're learning.
Exactly. And, you know, consistent with the indigenous way of thinking, seven generations, you know, you're looking out. These are the children that will lead our future. These are the children that are going to, you know, take over and hopefully do a great job of taking care of the land and the water and the air and everything else around us so we can be around much longer. I just want to say this particular concert that we're doing this weekend, we are doing it in partnership with the Kapa Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm, which is excellent.
Yeah.
Another great partnership because you're getting two really differently. Everybody's focused on doing good,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same communities. There's a lot of variation in that community, so it brings strength that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny you were saying one of the things that the school's always been known for is a school without walls.
Mm-hmm.
When we started out, that was very evident because we didn't even have buildings. I mean, we'd have the classes mm-hmm. outdoors and we'd be in the ocean and the forest.
Raquel was a part of it then.
Gabriel, my son, were both part of it. My son and daughter were both part of it in the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, I attended Kanui Kapono the first year that they opened, and back then we didn't even have a school building. Half the year we were in some offices in Kapa, and then the rest of the year we were in that big red barn building in Kapa.
right.
Yeah, and it moved around quite a bit. And so it's gotten a little bit more traditional,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of cultural values that are taught there. And then my permaculture personality is coming out here a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that the goal, and correct me if I'm wrong, the goal of this particular event is moving Kanui Kapono to be growing more of their food.
Absolutely. Sustainable food program, yeah. Food forest. We're planning a food forest on the lower part of the campus, and a lot of fruit trees. And
so I'm going to give my pitch that I give every time I'm there.
You go for it.
And I give this to everybody I see in Anahola, is that that plateau there, it has had aggressive agriculture on it before. Mm-hmm. I don't actually even know everything that was grown right there.
Right.
But it has stripped the topsoil.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty clear. I don't know if it is the wind and the rain or something else that has accelerated that. But, you know, you guys got to, I look at that campus and think, you got to get a bunch of green waste over there and put big green waste piles all ground up along the edges. Put some manure on it,
mm-hmm.
cover it in tarps. I'd love to see that happen real soon, so then after the Christmas break, when you guys get some money out of this, is you really start planning it. Because it's nice to have it be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at the soil there, it's not easy yet. You know, like, I get why it hasn't been there. So I have a question, and you may or may not be able to answer this.
Go for it.
This is a challenge that happens at most of the schools when they have the school garden.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot take what they grow and convert it into food to eat because not having enough of the commercial kitchen environment or the food safety management. We have such extremes in our food safety management that really the only good food to serve is processed, devitalized food, you know. Mm-hmm. So does Kanui Kapono present doesn't have a kitchen, right?
No, we don't have a certified kitchen.
So what do people do for lunch?
Kids bring their own lunch. We used to have a lunch program for a little while that was donated by somebody else in the community, but that's no longer currently available. So this is one of the issues that we need to come up with some sort of solution.
So kids bring their lunch, and mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't have money for lunch, I mean, forgot their lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a backup plan right now?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that as a big issue, too, mm-hmm. like something at the state level. Somebody doesn't have money for lunch, and they've pulled their tray, and they get there, and they don't have enough money. That food gets thrown in the garbage rather than to let the kid eat it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not in the day-to-day operations anymore. I'm on the board of directors for the for Kanui Kapono, so I'm not sure what's happening currently with the lunch program. We used to have part of the lunch program, and for a while we weren't, so I'm not really sure what the current status is.
I'm just kind of bringing these things up because it, like what the last caller was speaking about, we had two people speaking about GMO or different food elements and some of the stuff that we'll be going on to a little bit later in the show,
mm-hmm.
is healthy food. And to me, healthy food is the start of all of our independence.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly, when we were speaking a little bit earlier, and what we will go into later is some of these economic forces at a global level, all of that really affects us even though we're not terribly aware of it. That's what I have found, is not most people aren't thinking about what's going on out in the far reaches. But one of the best ways to position ourselves to be fine is to have our own food growing there.
Absolutely.
And I think when we can't utilize food that's grown on the campus to feed the kids who show up, that creates an environment where maybe those gardens aren't as important. I think if mm-hmm. we were growing it and producing it there, I've been at some great events at Kanui Kapono where there's really good traditional food. Mm-hmm. So much has been prepared and provided, and so I know that at some level they have the capacity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of support from the community, a lot of the parents as well that provide a lot of that, you know, step up where we need it. I invite anybody that's listening to this show, parents or anybody from the staff, to call in if you know more information about what's happening with the lunch program and food program at the school.
That would be at 826-7771. And we've got these two beautiful women here. Not that it's about being beautiful, but there's that. And beautiful and talented and smart. And we're going to hear a little bit more from you. But Raquel and Grace, you're sitting there loaded with instruments and vocal cords. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your music and really whatever's on your heart? And if you want to share a song?
Sure. Yeah, Grace and I have been playing together for about a year now. She's my good friend from school.
Where'd you go to school?
We both studied abroad in Spain our senior year of high school. That's how we met. So we were in the same program.
And then we went to different colleges. Yeah.
So, Grace, where did you grow up? What high school did you leave to go to Spain?
In Florida, northern Florida. I went my senior year. I was at an art school in Jacksonville, Florida, and I had I was a dance major, and I had a really bad injury, so I couldn't dance anymore. And then I ended up finding this abroad program, which was the perfect answer.
And what town? I forget where you were in.
Jacksonville.
No, in Spain.
Oh, in Spain. Zaragoza.
Zaragoza. Okay, that's
Zaragoza.
Great. Zaragoza. Yes,
it is. It's right between Madrid and
Barcelona.
Yeah, it was a great place. It was really nice. It was kind of not so touristy, so we got a real good experience.
And Raquel, what high school were you going to at that time?
At the time, I was doing Myron B. Thompson, which was an online school, and so I left that school to go abroad.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I remember, and I remember everybody went, and I saw your pictures, and you had a wonderful experience. So tell us about what song you want to share right here. And do you have one in mind? I'm seeing you. She got the guitar in hand, and so tell us a little bit about that. Who wrote it, and why you're selecting it now?
Who did that? Well, we're gonna sing a song called "Heartbeats" by The Knife, and
cover song.
Yeah, it's a cover. It's a song that we play pretty regularly at our show. We do Tuesday nights at Trees from 6 to 8, which we're gonna be heading there pretty soon.
Bounce right over there after here.
Yeah. So we want to share that with you, just get a little taste of our sound. Hope you like it.
And what time are you going to be playing on Saturday?
Saturday, I believe we play from like 1:40 to 2.
Yeah, they're 30? Scheduled for 1:40 to 2:15 on Saturday.
Okay, great. Okay, so what's the name of the song?
It's called Heartbeats.
Okay, and let's hear it.
To be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise made, four hands and then away. Both under influence, we had divine sense to know what to say. Mind is a razor blade to call for hands of a me.
that is so beautiful. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. That was Raquel and Grace singing a beautiful song. And you're going to be playing tonight at Trees from 6 to 8.
Happy hour.
And you're going to be playing Saturday at the Kanui Kapono event from 1:45?
1:40 to 2:15,
We're also going to be playing on Sunday during Brick's Kauai Live Show this week.
Tell me about that.
Brick came to see us at Trees a few weeks ago and invited us to come on his show. We're really excited about it. I think it's for an hour on Sunday from 7 to 8.
Who's Brick?
Brick is one of the radio DJs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I've been off the air for a while.
I guess he has a show Sundays here on KKCR.
Oh, okay. I probably know him as Steven.
Yes, I think that's not his actual name.
Okay, all right. So there's that challenge. Okay, so I love that. Do you want to play another song?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really good.
Great. Okay.
So they're thinking for half a second.
Yeah, so not only are Raquel and Grace going to be singing this coming Saturday, but John Cruz is going to be at our festival. Liko Martin and Laulani, Kili'i Kane Ali'i, Kavika Kahiapo, Stillwater, The Quake, Kalalea Kauhane, the Kekula School from Niihau is going to be there as well. And Rumba de Fuego, Bootleggers, and OCDC,
my baby boy.
Yeah, boy, and his band. It's going to be a lot of great live music, crafts, silent auction, food booths. There's a water slide, bounce house, craft center, all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I am definitely going to be there. And there's a lot of great things actually going on Saturday, including two Shrek shows.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you seen the Shrek show?
Oh, my God, we saw it last week. You cannot miss it. It's definitely go see it no matter what.
Yeah, I want to put a shout-out to Ron Hiroshko, amazing man who does all these...
The set is incredible.
And he hurt himself in that one, ended up in the hospital, you know. So we love you, Ron, if you're listening.
Esther did a beautiful job on the costumes, and the cast is just fabulous. I mean, it's just very well done. I was very impressed.
I still have to give a shout-out when you guys did Prince Humaihume. That was a Kanui Kapono play
production
like a year and a half ago.
We're working on bringing that back, so you may be hearing about that coming up soon, too.
Because that, I would say, was world-class.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like you guys could have taken that all around the islands. That was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I have that'll play later in the show, one of Kalalea's songs here. And then I have a piece that is from Liko. I know there might be somebody holding on air. Are they holding to come on? Would they like to come on for a moment? All right. Does it need to come on right now? Okay. Is somebody ready to go on the air? All right, so we'll take this really quick.
Okay.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, can I ask a question of the gentleman who returned from Japan?
Yes. So we're going to go quick with this because it's a little off topic right now. Eric, you have a question for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that question is?
Yes, the question is the availability of organic food on your trip to Japan.
You know, that wasn't very much of a big deal in Japan as, like, throwing the whole organic out in front of you. But I believe that it was a really organic food culture because I'm pretty sure there are several laws stopping countries from using artificial sweeteners in some of their products and, like, for instance, in their produce. Their produce, I believe, is very clean from what I've heard, but it's not that big of a deal where there's organic posted on every single food item. And even recently I learned it's really hard for the smaller people that are trying to make clean organic produce. You can't write on your product that it's certified organic, because to get a certification that it is organic, it costs a good amount of money. But as I'd say, in Japan, it's a pretty clean country for the most part, food wise
And was it pricey for food?
It depends on where you go. In the downtown parts, you're paying about $20 for a small sandwich, where in other parts you're paying $5 or $6. So it really depends on where you go.
You're mostly in Japan, in main main islands of Japan?
I was in Nagoya, so that's the third most populated city in Japan. So one thing is Nagoya is extremely big. I landed in Nagoya, and it took 45 minutes to get to downtown. So it's very big cities.
Well, sometime in a future program, I'd like you to take some time and speak about your different martial arts disciplines.
Yeah, like
possible.
Another time would be great.
Thank you.
I would love to.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about that when because these guys are going to take off in a little bit.
Exactly. We got some great music in front of us, so let's hear it.
Okay, thank you.
But thank you so much, caller. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Okay, so we've got these different musical people that will be coming in. I was going to play one of Kalalea's songs. There's so many good ones, and you mentioned Kaylee. He's like half a Hapa.
Yeah.
He's the brown half a Hapa. And we are lucky.
Another great musician.
Another really great musician. We've got, and Liko Martin, I kind of consider him like the Bob Dylan of Hawaii. I want to drag him in here next week because I know he's going to be on island. He's arriving tomorrow, and he's going to be here through Thanksgiving. And I'm going to try and drag him in here. He's done a number of shows with me, and he always has something really, really strong to say.
Yeah.
So, women, I think you're really, really good. You make me smile big. I love having live music on the air, and let's hear another song.
Sounds great. All right, so now we're going to do the song Diamonds by Rihanna. This is our rendition.
Beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
was so nice. Yay. And
nice
again, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Grace and Raquel in here singing, promoting the event that's happening at Kanui Kapono this weekend, 12 to 8 or 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. A lot of great musicians playing. Raquel, you've been a beautiful singer since you were, I don't know, I think first time I listened to you, maybe 8, is that right?
Yeah, younger. I don't know.
She's been singing
since she was like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, because you've been such a strong singer. How about you, Grace? When did you find your talent?
Last week. I actually haven't been singing my whole life. I was, as I mentioned before, a dancer for a long time, and then once I got injured and that door kind of closed, the music window opened, so that was a nice kind of love
shift
that I found later in life, yeah.
Okay, later in life, mm-hmm. Like you look like you're 23.
Well, okay, yeah, right. Later in my life, that's been
okay,
not
yeah.
as long as others.
Not as long as others, so I mean it's
yeah, pretty much when I got to college about.
When you got to college, and just
she's a great music writer, too. She writes, she's a Nashville girl. Look at her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like to write some country
yeah,
music?
Yeah, I like country music. I also write, a bunch of different stuff. But.
And as Nestor knows, and I've been involved educationally with Raquel's younger brother, I'm all about teaching through passion. And Raquel, you went to Skidmore?
I did, yeah.
And you graduated like 2 years ago?
Last year.
And did you go to college?
I went to NYU in New York.
So, because I have a kid in college and another one just about to go in, short answer, but was it worth it to go to university?
Absolutely, for me. I mean, it was amazing to leave Kauai, which is such a beautiful but very small community, and go out into the world and, you know, going all the way to New York. It's a lot further than most people from Kauai end up going, usually. So it was so great to get to be around these people that come from such different backgrounds from all over the country. You just really get to see, you know, how other people live, and you understand that there's so much more out there than what you're used to growing up, you know, as a child. So I think it's really important.
But you still came home?
I still came home.
And your main focus is still where it was before you left, when you were 8 years old, you still love to sing and perform. And
yeah, absolutely.
But what did you major in?
I majored in environmental science.
Okay. And so have you been able to express that here?
I have. I was working for Fish and Wildlife for a little while at the Kilauea Lighthouse, which was nice. And I also worked at Waipaw for a little bit during
okay.
the summer.
Okay. I'm just... you know, always looking at, you know, what's valuable, and I happen to know that you got a full scholarship, so you didn't go through the big student loan thing, right?
Yes, I was very lucky to come out of college with no loans.
So that was great, and mm-hmm. that's another theme that tends to run through this show. Okay, I know you guys are going to have to leave soon. Nestor,
yeah.
Can you run down the performance list of roughly when it is? Because people will, maybe they don't want to go spend
okay.
10 hours.
Let's see. We're gonna start off with OCDC at 12:15, 12:15 to 12:45.
Child band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bootleggers is on from 12:55 to 1:30. Raquel and Grace are on from 1:40 to 2:15. We have a Kanui Kapono Hula and Mele around 2:15 to 2:30. The school from Niihau, Kekula Niihau, is going to be on from 2:30 to 3.
They're pretty good.
Stillwater from 3 to 3:45. Kalalea Kauhane is going to be from 3:45 to 4:30. Kealii is going to be on at 5 o'clock, 5 to 5:45. Kavika Kahiapo is on from 5:45 to 6:30. Liko Martin, 6:45 to 7:15. John Cruz from 7:15 to 8, and we're going to wind up the night with The Quake from 8 to 9, and then a lot of the artists will join The Quake at the end to perform together.
Okay, and I cannot express any pricing on here, but it's very reasonable.
Very
reasonable. We can't say any price.
Yep, it's free for
no,
for Kapuna.
No, that's
oh, okay.
The price.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, no price.
Very reasonable, yeah.
Very reasonable. So... We really look forward to the event. We're really happy that you guys came in, you all came in and shared this.
Thanks for having
us. People can bring trees. I see that,
yes,
like a potted tree.
They can bring trees, and it's a 2-for-1.
Okay.
If they bring
because
trees.
Because they're not mentioning a price.
Not mentioning the price. The, also, the address, if anybody needs it, is 4333 Kukuihale Road in Anahola. So please come on out and participate with us.
Okay, tell them how that is. That's like on the south end. It's up on the high point.
If you're coming from Lihue, it's the first right as soon as you get into the town of Anahola. Okay, right across from the Anahola Marketplace. It's that first right.
So
go down
Oceanside,
two blocks.
Oceanside on the high end of Anahola, Kapa'a side of the valley. So up there, down left, and I'm sure there'll be some signs.
Yeah.
Okay, any last thing you all want to say? Then I'm going to take a call, which I don't think is for you guys. Any last piece that you want to...
Well, just to say it again, you know, if you guys want to hear more from us, we play at Trees from 6 to 8 every Tuesday, and we'll also be on KKCR Sunday night. Brick's Kauai live show from 7 to 8 o'clock. And come to see us at the event, too, maybe, if you'd like.
Yeah. And thank you, Felicia, for having us.
Absolutely. Mahalo to everybody from Kanuika Pono. We send our love and thanks for all your support.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, thank you. And for people out there, too, Waipa in the morning is having a work day, like 8 to about 11 or 12. I'll probably go down there. Show up dirty at your event. I think I'm going to hit Shrek the night before. This Sunday, there's, you know, Rainbow Trees doing another musical gathering up there at Kalihiwai Ridge. That should be another really good one.
Lots of fun stuff.
Lots of music, lots of things. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you,
thank
Felicia.
You.
And I'm going to grab this patient caller. Aloha, you are on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
I want to thank, give a big shout out to Papa Joe and Sammy down at Kamoa Ukuleles.
Oh,
thank them for all those beautiful little Kamoa Ukuleles they donated at the fund drive. Because I'm a grateful member of KKCR, and I won one of those beautiful ukuleles, and I just wanted to say thanks a lot, Papa Joe. That was really great, gracious of you to do that. And anyways, one other thing about, could you explain to me what's going on after that Maui vote? It's like they won Ole GMO, but the GMOs are now suing them, like they always do when they lose. Could you talk a little bit about that? I'm a little confused what's going on. Maybe you could enlighten me.
Okay, and there might be an Akamai caller who can do a better job than myself.
I mean, it's typical.
It's typical, and just like with what is now Ordinance 960 or 2491,
right?
They said well ahead of time, we will sue if you pass this. And so it puts communities in a really, really rough bind. Like if you think of any small effort that's out there, what it would be like if people said, hey, if you don't let my taco wagon happen to be on the side of the road, we are going to sue the county and cost you arguably $1 million, so don't even think about it, right? There's a gun to the government's head whenever they're trying to do these things. I see that, kind of segueing slightly, but there was an anti-fracking measure that passed in Mendocino County. And, you know, no doubt there will be a big lawsuit there. It's seemingly the courts are where most of our issues are decided now. Like Mendocino County, which is in California, and I actually don't really know. Is that wine? I'm not a California girl.
I believe it is. Yeah.
It's up high there above San Francisco somewhere. They did basically, you know, community bill of rights and a fracking and water initiative. And so they were able to say no. And we will see how long that can stand.
I saw and I listened to Democracy Now! Every day, which I suggest everybody should do, even though it's awkward. It's at noon, you know, but it's worth listening to every day, I think.
It's on KKCR from 12 to 1.
Yeah, KKCR. And just a couple of days ago, they mentioned the Gopal, the chemical explosion that killed thousands of people and you know, they had it, this was, I don't know, probably 20 years now later, where Dow Chemical was one of the responsible parties, they still haven't paid any money for any kind of cleanup. And it's just like, it's just the epitaph of these chemical companies. They destroy places, they pack up and leave. Sometimes they pay millions of dollars, but they're billionaires. That doesn't really, it's like a drop in the bucket, and they go off to the next place, you know.
Well, I think that what happens in that is it's just built right into the whole business plan.
Right.
It's part of it, and what I would hope, and I never give up hope. I think that, you know, it might be I'm an optimist, but I never give up hope.
Well, you shouldn't give up hope.
But when you look at the millions of dollars, the literally millions of dollars they invest in suppressing community voice, suppressing community activism,
right.
You know, disinformation campaigns, and I will have to say that is what it is. It's like, it's...
lies. It's basically lies. And then when it doesn't go their way, they sue. And I'll give you for the floor. And thanks a lot for the show. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in. And yep. And so when they have that, when they invest that kind of money, maybe they could invest that money in adapting, and just start to adapt where their product is something they're proud to have, and people, and, you know, people welcome it. It's not impossible.
It has to be pretty infuriating, though, to think that they were overspent 87-1. You know, the people that were fighting against these GMO companies, you know, they were spent against 87 times more than what they spent. It's insane to see how much these companies are spending to stop the people from casting their vote, and then the fact that they think that they're going to sue the people for passing a bill that they wanted passed. You know, I think history always repeats itself, and, you know, when the laws come in to stop the people's voices, I know in history people have stood up against the people that try to stop them from how they want to live. So, I mean, companies may have all the money, and they may have the control, and they may own both sides of the chamber, but when the, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the people and how they feel and what they want. The biggest problem is when people don't care and they stop thinking about what's really going on. You have a caller?
We do. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, you guys are popular. It's hard getting on the air.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hey, Felicia, it's good to hear you on the air again.
Thank you so much.
And I just, the reason I kept trying to call is I am so excited, too, like you, to go to this event on Saturday.
Thank you.
I mean, man, I've known Liko for 20-something years,
mm-hmm.
and to get to go hear him play, he might even call me up on the stage to let me play drums again. I don't know, you know, I mean.
Yeah, he's good, and, you know, he's really... very, very aware of all the dynamics.
Bob Dylan, you said he was the Bob Dylan of Hawaiian sovereignty, and I would have to agree. I would have to agree.
He's like an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Yeah. Also, you were touching on, you know, the ground up there, and God, I wish my wife was here with me. She would know. She's born and raised on Oahu, but... you know, there is a wind factor and erosion factor going on up there. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful view of the ocean, like you said. But, you know, if they want to do some really cool gardens, man, just go get the raised beds, you know, the 2x12 and put cardboard down and some mulch and start,
yeah, that's
start from the beginning again. You know?
That's a good start. And then, like, what I have found, because I'm a lazy princess and I don't like to weed, water, or work. So the best way for me to do my land stuff is just one time when you really disturb the earth, you cut, break that up, and then it's a permaculture method of putting, I call it a lasagna trench. I think it's called hugel culture, but you can put a whole bunch of green waste
inside,
right,
after you hoolied.
Yeah, inside after you hoolied. And then, like,
right,
if you put, like, you know, you basically burn the weeds down by putting the compostable coconut and mulch,
yeah,
coconut and manure. And so it really gives it a good base. And, you know, like, anybody's welcome to come see my little yard and sing because I can do it.
I just know that, man, don't miss this event on Saturday because, I mean, number one, it's very affordable. They're going to have all of the games and stuff for the kids. And we heard about 2 weeks ago, and we're really excited to go. This is going to be a good event.
It'll be a good event, and it's fun, and it's a beautiful spot. So thank you so much.
All right.
Aloha. All right. Aloha. I believe we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Oops. Nope. Okay. I might have missed that one. So, yeah, the Kanui Kapono event, really good. And we were kind of jumping on to a few other topics. But while we were there with plants, it's really a lot easier than you think. It takes the mycelium, which is basically turns into mushrooms. The fruit of mycelium is mushrooms, microbes, and bugs. And then so if you feed the micro herd, is what I call it, they take care of the plants. That's who farms.
So what were they saying earlier? You're allowed to bring your trees? You're allowed to bring a tree with you?
There's something on the flyer there that says you can bring a potted tree in exchange for your ticket price, which is not very much money, but you can bring that. They're saying, hey, you know, you can come and bring us some orchard things. I'm sure they want to have you know, things to start beginning the gardening.
It looks like we might have a caller to go on the air.
Okay, we do. All right. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me, Felicia?
I can.
Oh, man, thank you for everything that you've done for us, Felicia.
Oh.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're running like this and bringing us some important issues, you know, like what you always talk about. I hope you run again. And we'll be supporting you again, Felicia.
Thank you so much. And for the caller who doesn't know, I did just run for county council. I learned so much. I know who's calling, and you do so much for this island, usually supporting workers' rights.
Yeah, well, you know, and environmental issues, sustainability issues that you talk about are very much within the realm of workers' rights. It's inseparable. We can't talk about labor rights unless we're green. And we can't talk about environmental protection and the things that you talk about unless we protect the workers as well. So it goes hand in hand, and I really appreciate that you've done. And I got to commend you for going into a lot of communities on the west side and in Hanama'ulu and Ihue and to talk to people to get the word out.
Yeah, you know what? It was actually really fun, and it was really developmental for me because I spoke to a lot of people who don't know me and maybe don't like what I represent. Mm-hmm. And so it was a time of pretty strong growth for me. It's important to be able to listen to people who don't agree with you.
Yes,
and
yes.
I met many, many nice people within that, and it was I think that we're going to end up having a number of really strong shows. It takes me a little bit of cajoling to get community to make the drive up here and actually talk, but what KKCR is all about is having the conversation and bringing it together. And so I think that we're going to have a lot of growth. For me, it was like taking the show on the road for 6 months, and I don't feel disempowered at all. I feel strong and solid, and we'll continue to make a difference. And caller, you make a difference all the time.
I tell you what, by you getting out there and bringing out the message to have to be brought out, we're winners. We all are. And I'm so happy to have you back on the show again.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of people appreciate what you've done. You're brave. And the thing I like about you is that you study the issues. And if you don't understand, you're going to research and talk to people to get the broadest view that you can. And you'll go out of your way and talk to people that disagree with you or who don't understand what you're talking about. So, Felicia, keep up the good work. And you have a lot of supporters out there, Felicia.
Thank you. I feel really loved up. And thank you to the 7,917 people who did vote for me. So
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Thank you.
And there'll be more next time when you run again.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye bye.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
So thank you for listening to KKCR. Do we have another call? Okay, we'll take that call. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, aloha. A brief comment regarding the development of one's garden.
Yes.
I've been composting my soil for the last several years, and what I find amazing is I take my certified organic coffee grounds and tea grounds along with the kitchen waste, and then I layer it alternatively with dry and wet. And it's totally amazing. And then, of course, you know, as you said, Felicia, doing the mulching and using cardboard to suppress the weeds, that this is a really great way of developing your own soil for the garden.
Yes. And it, once you get it going, then it does the work. So it just takes a while to reestablish maybe what has been killed, but you get that life going on in there, and it's powerful. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I just wanted to recommend, I just read a book, and I'm on the people who live in Okinawa. Now, they live a lot longer by, you know, 20 or 30 years than the people who live in Japan. And one of the secrets is almost everyone in Okinawa has a garden. And there's hardly any chronic disease at all. In other words, no diabetes, heart disease, breast cancer, arteriosclerosis, you name it. So I would recommend people check out the diet and the lifestyle of the people of Okinawa. And one of the most amazing things that blew my mind was that the content of their diet versus, you know, Okinawans living in Canada, where these doctors were from, who wrote the research, or Americans. But the people in Okinawa eat 50 times the bioflavonoids that Western folks eat. Okay? And the flavonoids are things that are found like in cabbage and onions and tea, not in McDonald's food, of course, or in rice. And the thing is, the Okinawans eat, they don't eat a lot of rice, unlike the Japanese. They eat the, what we call the molokai, sweet potatoes, which are actually from Okinawa. So I'd highly recommend people looking into this, because they must be doing something right if they're living with vitality to their 90s and 100s.
That's right. So thank you so much
for
that.
Thank you, Felicia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's all about that miso soup.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
And do we have another caller holding? Okay, we'll take that, and then after that we're going to hear from our underwriters. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Felicia?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Mike. I live in Kipu.
Right on. Hi, Mike from Kipu.
Hi. I grow arugula, and that diet's really good. I didn't know about. I'm growing marigold and arugula, kale, and I didn't know about the mushrooms. I just planted a bunch of marigolds, you were saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The mushrooms that'll take care of the farming.
Well, yeah, what mushrooms do, you put the mycelium in, and I can tell you how to do it, but you put the mycelium in the ground, and it's like, it can, you know, grow over your entire property. It can be miles wide, really, and they bring nutrients from one area to another. It's like, makes your whole ground a living organism, and so it starts to balance out the nutrients in the soil.
Okay. Should I, because there's mushrooms on this farm just growing in the grass.
Mm-hmm. I make what I call special sauce, and
okay.
you got to be really careful with mushrooms because they're not all good for us to eat.
I'm not going to eat them. I was just going to use them in my garden.
Yeah, so, like, there's spores on the bottom of the mushrooms, and I'll take, like, a bucket, and I'll take water out of my turtle pond or fish pond or something like that. I'll put leaves in there. I might put an old banana or an old mango or something that's got a little bit of sugar in it. I stick a little bubbler in there because I happen to have like a permaculture yard. It accelerates it. So I try and create the organisms in there. But at the end of it, when I pull it out and I'm starting to throw it onto the ground, I will mix in. I'll take the little mushroom tops that are all over the place.
Right.
And because the spores are underneath those mushroom tops, and I just sort of mix it in to a certain part of compost, and then I layer it underneath a little bit of soil on the top. And it sounds like a lot of work, but it isn't. And when I teach kids, it's fun. You know, we call it special sauce, and you know, you can wear gloves if you're worried about it. I probably do wear gloves, but
I do wear gloves.
I wear gloves, but it creates all this life. And if I have an area that's clearly worm bed, you know, I give these things away to friends or somebody who comes over, you know, because it just, after a while, it's abundant and it's everywhere. I mix it all in. And so as you give that special sauce or the living layer, because I usually work with young people, like preteens, I call it lasagna trenching or, you know, I call it food-oriented things. They're scientific names, but I don't use them. And, It's you can see everything come alive. And when we first did it, when we put it on one side of the yard and the other side of the yard, you see it grow across as the grass and the things above it become more and more abundant. And once it eventually holds hands, then All of a sudden everything started to rock. And my soil used to be shiny and hard and kind of reddish.
Yeah, and I
need a pick to get into it. And now I really can dig with my hands, and it's almost black. I've got a couple people in here who see it. Some areas are a little bit blacker than others, but it is no longer brown or reddish soil. I'm sure the iron is still in there, but the organic element is just taken over. And what I find is the best testament of what I do is that I don't work very hard at it. I neglect it. It's on autopilot. And that's what gives me so much hope for Kauai, is we can be doing this everywhere. And we can be having food in public places. And, 30 years ago, it seemed like yard after yard, or maybe one out of three yards, were filled with food. This was the way that we did things. And so when we hear this, oh, you can't make farming work economically. Well, you know, you can make farming work, whether it's economic or not. It doesn't mean you have to support yourself out of it. It means you need to eat it and share it.
Right.
And the more that we share what we have, you know, really something that we'll move into in a little bit is how our economic system is designed to take the wealth and move it to the top. Every piece that we have has got some sort of tax or some sort of interest, and it just keeps getting chewed off. And we're working two or three jobs, and it's a little bit absurd. You know, we don't need to be working so hard, especially in the tropics. In my mind, we're subtropic here, but I think, you know, man's meant to live like cats. We don't have to work that hard for what we need. We can eat and live simply, and we're on this absurd treadmill of needing to pay bills and bills and bills, and we just accept it like that's something that we're supposed to be doing. And
it's all about the bills. I hope we do talk a lot about this, or at least later, some point, because there is a lot to say on that.
So we're going to be shifting into that, but I want to make sure that I answered your plant piece well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a website. I don't know if I can even say my website. I don't make money on it. There's nothing business about it, but it's Akamai Backyard. If you look at Akamai Backyard, I haven't updated it in a long time, but there's a little film on there. And there's instructions in there, and it's got my phone number in there, which I can tell anybody is 826. Excuse me. I'm giving the wrong number. I'm about to give the radio station number. 652-4363 is my cell number. And I live to help people with their, yeah, I don't make any money on it. I'm not promoting. I'm a yardening evangelist. And I call it yardening because I don't like to garden because that implies work. I like it to just be edible landscaping. I do have to do a disclaimer. I did have five friends, one of whom's in the room here, who came over after the end of my campaign, and they gave my yard and a haircut. My joke is it looks like my hair. I have curly hair that it's kind of a little bit raggedy, but it did end up with dreadlocks because I wasn't able to do much to it. So it did just get a haircut. But you could have worse problems than overabundance and too much growth.
Mm-hmm. Felicia has dreadlocks now.
My yard and definitely had dreadlocks. So it got a little bit contained. So thank you to those wonderful people who came in and helped me cut a lot of that overgrowth and compost it. But again, worse problems than too much productivity. And I used to be, my joke is, a hoardo sadist. I didn't quite kill plants. I just kept them on the very edge of existence. So if I can do it, anybody can. And certainly Kauai can. And go ahead.
One more question. I'm using fish fertilizer, and I catch fish. I don't have a computer. I live very simply.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the fish fertilizer, that reddish? It's just chopped up. It's just blended fish, right?
I'm sure it's good for the soil. I mean, you can just, there's lots of different ways people turn it into something more intense.
Right.
But when I did have access to a lot of fish to eat that was caught, there was a point when I did, and I'd scale it, and I'm kind of a princess for doing that, but I did clean and scale the fish. And I would just dig a hole in my garden and just put it in there. Honestly, you know, I just would bury it in the yard, and it's got to help, and I think it does help. But there are people who are really good at using fish emulsion, and they have all kinds of ways that they concentrate it. And again, when I do a presentation, I call it the Lazy Princess's Guide to Gardening, because I don't go out and get fertilizer. I don't go out and buy anything. I just don't throw anything out of the garden. Everything gets recycled right into my yard. And that seems to be enough. But I have chickens and turtles and fish, and I have enough animals in there that it stimulates that food chain, which fortunately we were able to limit the Hawaii Revised Statute 667. And there's this Food and Safety Management Act that makes nature illegal. So it's like I was large scale or I was selling my stuff further than 50 miles away,
right.
If you have plants and animals in the same zone, it's a felony. And that is absurdity to the max.
I was just going to say, that's absurd.
That is absurd. And really, when you look at the federal law, a toddler is included in an animal, because a toddler maybe might pee in the yard or poop in the yard. And when we are afraid of nature, you know, we have really, really separated ourselves from reality.
So that's a federal law.
So, yeah, the Food Safety Management Act, and there is a Hawaiian one, too. But they did put, and there's a sundown on it. I was following this on the show. There's a sundown on it, but It made any of that kind of thing illegal, and people put, I'm forgetting the names of these little pieces. There was little pieces in there that limited it, that said, okay, if you're just eating it or sharing it, or none of the food will go any more than 50 miles, and you're not growing any.
Or next door capacity.
Yeah. If there's very low capacity, they gave you like a 2-year out on it. But if you really look at all the federal laws, there's more than 2,000 felonies, and I've tried to count on my fingers what should be a felony. And by the time I get to 20, I'm starting to run out of ideas. So if you try to get to 2,000, that's an incredible amount of opportunity to break a law. And so at a federal level, at a large-scale level, you know, there is a lot of laws against it. And that is, though, to,
politics.
Keep people away from biohazards, right? You've got to do smart things. You don't want to be pooping in your garden, right? Because then you're going to get things that could be unhealthy for for human consumption.
I would suggest for people to just do what they have to do. And, you know, if they're afraid that it might break some federal law, I still think, you know, just do what you have to do.
We can't say that on the radio.
Okay, well, I'm not telling people to go break laws. I'm telling people to follow their heart. Don't be scared of what might be happening on some federal list. I'm just saying, you know, if you have to grow your produce and then you have to sell it and it happens to be a certain distance, I wouldn't be afraid. And
Our scale here on Kauai?
Yeah.
Minor.
It's minor because on Kauai, it is, you know, we're not shipping it a long way away. We don't have that kind of scale. So
I ship it about 20 feet away.
Okay, and somebody wanted to know what kind of turtle I have. I have like I have 12 turtles, and there are 3 different types. So
I'm sorry, you just broke a federal law by having a turtle in your yard.
I have a turtle in my yard. My turtles, by the way, for anybody who's upset that I have turtles, they are usually broken turtles that somebody brings to me, and so
they are not wild.
They've probably been taken from the wild, but they're
been
contained.
Broken.
They're Yeah.
We have three in the reservoir that have been here 20 years, and they're huge.
Yeah, like one of mine is a Chinese turtle, and the Chinese did bring them over, and they ate them. And turtles last about 100 years, so. Okay, well, thank you so much.
One last question, real quick. How about goat manure, because we have plenty of goats.
I think goat manure is premium. That does... you do want to compost that stuff down before you put that near something that would be like leafy things that you would eat. You know, I mean, you mix
that
in.
I'm doing it with marigolds.
Okay, great. You know, and we have a show called In the Garden on Wednesdays. And
right, I've heard that one.
They're actually really excellent. I'm an example of somebody who just kind of went to a class, did what I was told, and boy, did it work.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox, and this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Ballyhei Realty, The Copper Man, and we're going to hear about the Trio con Brio concert.
Coldwell Banker, Ballyhei Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Ballyhei Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at ballyhei.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Kauai Concert Association announces the first concert of the season, internationally acclaimed Trio con Brio Copenhagen, Thursday, November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Show begins at 7. That's classical music with pianos and string musicians, Trio con Brio Copenhagen, November 20th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. More information and tickets at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org.
All right. So mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Lots of good things happening here. If you would like to call in, 826-7771. And I did see that the state is going to hold public meetings on Hawaii's land use system. And that's the kind of thing that it's good if people show up. It's not directly about a particular type of land use, but when people are concerned, which we hear constantly, they are going to do a comprehensive analysis on how to make Hawaii's land use process work more effective and efficiently. And typically, people who do show up for things like that are the large, well-financed land users that maybe other people are concerned about. So it's important for miscellaneous people to come. And so they have it on every island. But when they come to Kauai, they're going to be at the Kauai Planning Commission Conference Room. That's in Lihue, right in the Civic Room area there, from 6 to 8 p.m. on December 10th. And I am putting this link right on my Facebook page, Felicia Alonji. I'll try and Cowden, and I'll try and put that also on Kauai Soapbox. So we'll do that. So, Eric, we were talking about, you want to talk about money and economics. So tell me what's stimulating you on that, because I'm happy to speak to that.
Well, it's a pretty big topic, but, you know, I guess the thing that was on my mind, I was touching on it last week, was just how money has been changing over our entire economy, our entire civilization. I mean, I think about the times when I were a kid and the prices of just regular items around the grocery store, I mean, around just regular life. I mean, think about gas. What is it now? $4 or something like that?
I mean, it's like, I think it's about $4.38.
Yeah,
something.
You know, I've just stopped looking at it because I'm just so tired of getting angry about how it's constantly going up. And when I was a kid, it was $1 a gallon.
Well, we have all that inflation that's inherent in elements.
Uh-huh.
But when we're looking at the money and the situation with that, is that we're seeing. To me, here's a metaphor that comes to my mind. When you play Monopoly, did you ever play Monopoly?
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of times. I want to play right now.
Okay. Well, to me, what it's like is if you've been playing Monopoly and it's gone at least 20 times around the board. You know, when you first get in there, you got lots of opportunities. But if you enter the game, or if you don't make the first couple rounds work for you, well, then you kind of have a hard time. And so for people, Eric, can I say your age? You're 24?
Yeah, 24.
So a 24-year-old is entering the Monopoly game after maybe
first 5 or 6 turns have gone by.
Maybe 15, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's pretty tough entering the game now. And what we're seeing is all over the globe, everything seems to be owned by somebody, mm-hmm. including the air and the water and what we call the commons.
Mm-hmm.
And even money is owned. It's owned by the Federal Reserve Bank in our country. It's not actually public. It's not the government doesn't own it. This cartel of bankers owns it.
Yeah.
And so they get to control how much money is created, and they get to control the interest rate. And they get to receive that money.
They're pretty much controlling the whole board of Monopoly.
They've got control of the Monopoly game. So what the challenge is how do we upend having to always participate in that system? I know we can't just go, all right, well, we just won't pay our bills. I mean, people actually could do that.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, like I have a friend who's a year younger than me, and he's telling me he's afraid because he's never paid his income tax. He's never filed taxes before in his entire life. And it's getting to the point where he really has to with the job that he's working. He has 2 different jobs, and he's just barely making it month to month.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting that you bring that up, because I have spoken to 3 different people this week who maybe haven't filed income taxes for 10 years or 15 years. Mm-hmm. Like they hit a point, like maybe when they moved here or some change in their life. I've met people who've never filed. When you're outside the system, it's very hard to get inside the system. How do you figure out how to enter it? And maybe we can do a show on that, because I am trying to help them. Like I actually did call the tax office just to ask, hey,
yeah.
And it's not one of those choices. If you've never filed taxes, press 5. You know, it didn't give you that option. And if you press those numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the only option you have is more recorded options. So you go through the whole list, and then you get to, you know, stay on the line or press 0 to talk to an operator. But then it says there aren't any operators that are available to answer your call. Please call back later. And we couldn't find an IRS office. If there's an Akamai caller out there, it doesn't seem like there's an IRS office any longer on Kauai. You could go to the state building, and there is They had something. Not near the state building, there's a Social Security office, but there wasn't an IRS office. So
maybe it would be good to have a little show just about taxes and how we would be doing them ourselves and what the implications of them are.
Yeah, because there are really unanswered questions. And even, you know, when I was talking to, like, the Campaign Spending Commission, I was really surprised at what fundamental questions they didn't have an answer for.
Mm-hmm.
And they've basically been pretty nice and pretty good, but they have a very, very narrow range of information that they either have or are allowed to give.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't seem to have a one-size-fits-all or an all-provider type of one-stop shop to ask questions on how to be involved in things. And what I saw in this election process is how difficult it is actually to get an ID for many people. I certainly experienced that myself when my driver's license expired. It took me like 3 months to prove I was me, because we have this new ID that's out there. But it is very much like a control group of what goes on. And then, interestingly, our passports are no longer made in America. They're made in Thailand.
Really?
And I'm not sure even... I got to find this one out. I had somebody insisting that our currency was no longer made in the United States. I thought that was made in Washington, D.C. I see that Marshall's looking this up on the web. So, Marshall, if you could look it up, if there's an Akamai listener.
We have all new, completely $100 bills. They're completely different from the new, from the old school ones. And they even have a little scanning tag on them, which is pretty strange.
Yeah, our currency has been changing a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering where those are manufactured. But the real economy is the subsistence economy. That's your fish. That's your food. You can share. You can do things like that. But where do you break laws when you're actually sharing? Like that was something that was interesting I saw in doing campaign stuff. If somebody does something for you that they would normally do for you for free, you still have to find a way to quantify it and actually put dollars on it. You can't... you can't have that aloha in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think independence is the decay of a corporate corrupt system. You know, if you have a community of people that are completely dependent on themselves, you know, there's a farm in that community that gives a lot of the produce. There's also a pasture of land that's, say, producing some of the meat that they need. There's fishermen that are getting the fish. If they were a community that completely takes care of themselves and doesn't have to depend on this system that we're finding so much trouble with, that's when a community could decide what they want to do with themselves. But until they stop being dependent on this system that we find so many faults with, we're not really going to be able to change it.
Right. It takes creating independence. And growing your own food is a really good start. Growing your own food is really helpful.
It looks like our currency is printed in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And Fort Worth, Texas. And you can actually go to those places and see it being printed.
Okay, because I have seen it being printed in Washington, D.C. So thank you for confirming that, because I had somebody arguing with me that, no, they weren't there anymore, and that was just a couple days ago.
Really good quote before we take this next caller. I read this the other day. This was from Abraham Lincoln, and he said, don't believe everything you read online.
Right. And obviously, he wasn't online, but yes, that's a really good one.
So do we have another caller?
I think we do. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox. Eric Cannon is in here with me, Felicia, and we have Marshall in for the first time answering phones. And we're always, by the way, happy to bring fresh volunteers into the station, and we love bringing people up to speed on how to be part of KKCR, the station that loves you. Okay, we have a caller. You're on the air.
You know, obviously, diseases and illnesses happen. I mean, just like plain old accidents, like falling and breaking your leg. So it's nice to have modern surgical techniques and modern medicines like penicillin and and you know, cotton swabs and alcohol to clean your ears and stuff like that. But in our modern day society, since like the pharmaceutical companies are so huge, it's like a bonanza when people get sick, like because of the price of like pharmaceutical medicines, vaccines and stuff. And there's always been a real controversy about, like, conspiracy theories think that the government started the AIDS virus. Some people think they were behind the Ebola virus. Some people think they were behind influenza, which happened after World War One. It went worldwide. The first case of influenza was started to happen in America. I heard this. I don't know if it's true. I'm pretty sure it is. And it went spread worldwide, and it killed millions of people. I'm not sure whether they ever came up with a vaccine for influenza. But one thing that I heard on the news that was interesting about Ebola is that because if there was poor people in Africa dying of Ebola, that there was no money in it for the pharmaceutical companies to come up with vaccines. But of course, the conspiracy theorists, and lots of times they're right. I'm not the one to say, right? They say that, oh, they already have vaccines for AIDS and for Ebola. They just want to keep them handy for what to use whenever they want.
I just got to say, put in there real quick, you know, sometimes it's not about making money off of the vaccine, off that certain disease
right.
that's spreading around, but more about having people talk about it day in and day out while certain things are going through
right.
Congress.
Right, it becomes a fear distraction, and I'm not saying that's what it was.
Yeah.
It can be.
I just was responding to Eric, your utopian society. I mean, I'm into that, you know. I mean, people are going to die from X, Y, Z amount of reasons one way or the other in a fully utopian society. But one of the things you think about the modern world, it's not that I love the modern weapons or the modern gadgets and stuff like that, but one of the things you think of is modern medicine versus ancient remedies and stuff. And I know there's a blend between the two, other than the fact that, you know, you're right about good living, eating good food and stuff makes people more healthy, so they're less likely to have illnesses because illnesses go back to the food chain. Like in our society, it's money. Who can afford, you know, the best surgeons? Who can afford the best? I mean, even though it was gut wrenching because in Colorado, where people are actually moving there because they want to get this medicine to help children with seizures. Mm-hmm. You know, where they get the cannabinoids or whatever they're called. It's not THC.
Huh.
It's just
CBDs.
Yeah, it's a product from
marijuana.
Marijuana that where doctors are all ready to cut out a little kid's part of their brain to stop like their 20 seizures they're having a day, and after 2 weeks of taking these cannabinoids or whatever that is, an oil extract,
cannabinoids,
the seizures stop. But the only problem with this woman who is the interviewing on Democracy Now, because she actually packed up and moved to Colorado so where she could get this medicine, you know, it was like $800 a month. And I felt really bad that she would, and of course the insurance companies wouldn't pay for it, you know, and so.
You know, it all comes from a plant.
Well, yeah, and that's my 2 cents worth, is because we're all going to die, you know, from something or other, you know, in a utopian society where we don't have to depend on anything that's modern. You kind of think, you go, well, it sure be nice to have penicillin if I got a staph infection or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you're bound to the system because people, when they invent, I mean, doctors were, first of all, it costs so much money to go to medical school. The pharmaceutical companies own most of the medical schools. You know, I talked to a doctor. It's like the first year of medical school. It's all it is about what kind of prescription medicines that there are, you know. Mm-hmm. And And I don't know, there's a blend between the old and the new.
It's definitely sick.
There's a perfect blend between the old and new, and it's not nuclear weapons and armored tanks. I know that. But anyway, sorry for talking to
you. No, you know, I just was going to say one of the first things that I'd ever learned as a kid, you know, coming back from second grade, Hanalei school.
Right.
It was first grade. We had a presentation from some dentist, and they told us about how they're finding now that in history that some of the earliest deaths in humankind were because of cavities and bad teeth. And I was like, wow, whoa, it's all about...
Well, because you can get a brain infection, right? You get an infection.
Yeah, from cavities. And, you know, I'm sorry, they were saying that people were dying back in their 20s and stuff like that from cavities, and that was the biggest killer of humans back then. And I'm sorry, but...
Well,
I can't believe that at all.
I don't believe that at all either.
Let me finish real quick. You look at the people in Java, they have such a great diet there. They're these tall, dark-skinned people, and they have amazing teeth.
Well, I heard in Tonga, I have a friend who lived in Tonga. He said they didn't have one cavity in Tonga until processed sugars and white flour.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. It's all about these foods that our society is now dependent upon, and all mm-hmm. these fast food stores.
Nothing healthy.
And I have read, I never know how true these things are, that as different people groups from different parts of the planet, you know, come together,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we have big-jawed people with small teeth or small-jawed people with big teeth. You know, we start having a little bit more crooked teeth because of, as we're crossing people types, I've seen a study anyway that they didn't used to have as intensive of teeth situations.
One thing that's super admirable is the doctors that beyond borders. They go, a doctor, I saw this thing, they went to like Nepal where people get cataracts. And it's a real simple surgery. It only takes about 20 minutes per patient, right, to remove a cataract. And people that have been blind for years all of a sudden can see. And so they take a really expensive, basically a piece of electronic microscope, and you know, which I don't know how much it costs, you know, $100,000, yep. $200,000, and they go and they make people, they take 20 patients a day that have been blind and they can see. And that kind of stuff, modern technology is just so wonderful. And you just go, because of the, you know, you just go, you wish, you hope, you pray, you know, that we can find, and I'm sure we will someday, like your positive thinking, Felicia. Don't stop.
Well, thank
okay?
you.
You know,
and thank
because
you, Paul.
Someday there will be a blend between the old and new that's going to be, like, revolutionary, and it's happening now. And I'll shut up and have a great day.
Thank you so much for calling.
Great topics.
So I did have somebody send in to me this Magic of Nature, which benefits the Rainbow Tree School. It's going to be happening at the Church of the Pacific, not at Kalihiwai Ridge. The school's at Kalihiwai Ridge, but the Magic of Nature event, it's a musical event, is going to open at 5:30 p.m. at the Church of the Pacific. And so it's going to help to finish the first Rainbow Tree School building. So that's it's a younger grades alternative learning place. And lots of good music and a cornucopia of people that are there playing. And the musical suite is composed by Richard Kraft. So it's local artists and local music that's done there. I would like to play the county council report a little early. Usually we do it at the very end. I want to start doing that a little bit earlier so that there's opportunity to comment on what's coming up, because usually I put that at the very end. But I have found that it is so important. I've been going all the time lately. It's like this giant chess game that happens, and it's...
Politics?
Politics.
What?
Yes. No. You know, and so it's pretty interesting even to see the difference before the election versus after the election. I think something that has been just profound from before the election is we have too expensive of a government.
Yep.
And we have a lot of complicated rules and complicated things to be looking after. And so it takes a lot of manpower to do that. I know that one of these things that's coming up tomorrow is the shoreline setback. I will give a personal disclaimer. I'm not comfortable with it, the shoreline setback. That was something that we had that's been looked at around the country as a great way where we have said everything has to be a certain amount of footage away from the shoreline. So that covers hazard mitigation from erosion, but it protects the birds, it protects the viewplanes, it protects a lot of that. And now there is this bright line element. They're basically downgrading the shoreline setback to be hazard mitigation, erosion hazard mitigation. So anywhere with a rocky edge all of a sudden is no longer vulnerable. But so I wonder, like, why do they want that? Why do they want to change that? And while I like the individuals who are the developers or the lawyers who typically represent these high-end landowners, they're the only ones that are actually asking for it.
Yeah.
And the people who are concerned about it are the miscellaneous people. And when I look at it and I go, okay, we're going to take big stretches of our coastline, and we don't even know where it is when it's asked, okay, well, what land are we talking about? Well, it hasn't even been analyzed. And what I see happen is that so much it takes activists or really concerned citizens, and they got to go to these meeting after meeting after meeting, whether it's the Planning Commission meeting or the council meeting, and say, hey, we don't want that house put right here because it's going to create mm-hmm. this problem. And when we don't have a broad sweeping simple rule, then that adds a lot to the costs of doing business and costs of running the government and being able to sit there and follow up on it. That happens to be one of the elements that's on. But so as I play this, we'll listen. Do you have a comment, though?
I was just going to say, you know, at first this might sound like a great thing, like a shoreline backing up might be there to protect the people or the birds and everybody else that's closer to the shoreline. But, you know, I mean, growing up in Princeville, one of the saddest things I've ever seen was a part of the shearwaters that was closed off by fencing that was there for the shearwaters right there on the cliff. They could always be there protected. And I came back maybe 5 years later, and there was three houses built on top of it. And I went out onto the cliff and got yelled at by one of the people living in the house, get away from there, that's for the shearwater.
You know? Right, right. There is, you know, all those different elements.
If big money wants to get into those boundaries, they can get into it. It's more to keep back the regular people.
Yeah, well, what this is it's releasing the protection of the shoreline.
So it's vice versa.
It's saying, I mean, really, what the risk is anything up on these ridge lines, you could build the houses or the buildings much closer to the ridge line. And so an argument is okay, well, maybe it devalues it if you can't build right up on the ridge line. But I would argue maybe it keeps the value up. Because as one house goes right on the ridgeline, well, the next house is going to go right on the ridgeline. The next house is going to go right on the ridgeline. And so developers don't like that limitation. There are some areas, like maybe down there in Kekaha, when the highway runs right along the strip next to the beach, there is an argument that says, all right, if you're across the street from the highway, you can build right there. You know, and I can get that. If there's some sort of a development like that. But those pieces can be put in there. I use that as an example, but what we're seeing, and when you listen, and Jazz with John came in, that's his beautiful voice who does this county council report, you will hear that there's a lot of these real property tax debates that are coming up, and I'm seeing, you know, changes in that whole argument. There's a different type of behavior on the front end of an election than on the back end of an election. I did see in the paper where trying to lift the price freeze, the salary freeze, so it would be an increase of $9 million when we, you know, that is coming from the Salary Commission, so that's not the county council yet. If the county council were to say yes to that, when we are already crumbling over the $179 million budget, if we add another $9 million worth of wages, big problem. So lots of issues, lots of pieces in there, many things coming up. But so we'll listen to what John has to say about what's happening at the county council tomorrow.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of November 17th. There will be a regular council meeting at 9:45 a.m. on Wednesday in the council chambers in Lihue. The county engineer and the county capital improvement project manager transmit for council consideration proposed amendments to ordinance number B214-782 as amended relating to the capital budget of the county of Kauai for the fiscal year 2014 through 2015 by revising the amounts estimated in the bond fund. This is for Moanakai and Ponokai Seawall, $1.6 million. This is also proposed draft bill 2563, which is on for the first reading. The Director of Finance transmits for Council consideration proposed ordinance amendments related to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year 2014-2015, revising the general fund for funds to be used by the Department of Finance Real Property Assessment Division for assessment analyst software to assist with the identification and collection of data associated with unassessed improvements of real property. This is real property assessment software for the amount of $100,000. This is also proposed draft bill number 2565 under bills for the first reading. Council Chair Fafaro transmits for council consideration a resolution supporting the preservation of the character of Hanalei Bay by restricting the use of large vessels that are operating within the bay. This is under resolution number 2014-49. Also, Council Chair Fafaro transmits for council consideration a resolution supporting a low-interest loan program to assist in the conversion of cesspools to septic systems for Kauai residents. This is resolution 2014-50, also under resolutions. Council Chair Fafaro requests the Director of Economic Development provide the council with a briefing and update relating to the Kilauea Agricultural Park. Under committee reports, the Planning Committee will consider Bill 2561 Draft 3 relating to the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance, and this is for amendments to the Shoreline Setback Ordinance and was approved as amended. Housing and Transportation Committee Chair Yuka Murr requests the Director of Economic Development provide a briefing on the North Shore Shuttle Initiative, which is related to Mayor Cavallo's Holo Holo 2020 initiative, and this was received for the record. The Finance and Economic Development, Tourism, Visitor Industry, Small Business Development, Sports and Recreation Development, Other Economic Development Areas Committee has on their agenda Bill 2546 Draft 2, and that's on agronomics, agriculture use definition, and reporting, and this was referred to the Council. Also, Bill 2557 Draft 1, Low Income Tax Credit, which was approved as amended. Also, Bill 2559 Draft 1, a tax on use, which was received for the record. And finally, Bill 2561 relating to the operating budget of the county for the current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund, and that's for the Office of the County Attorney Special Counsel account for the amount of $67,933, and this was approved. There will be a non-public executive session to provide the council with a briefing and request for authority to settle the case of Ernest G. Pajon versus the county. Also on the executive session agenda is a consultation with a county attorney regarding the fact-finding investigation on three parcels of real property. Check the website for the tax map key. This is concerning each parcel's compliance with the Agricultural Dedication Ordinance and the Sediment and Erosion Control Ordinance. That's grubbing, grading, and stockpiling and related matters. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
So, thank you to John Gordon for always taking the time to give those county council reports, and his nice, calm voice can almost hide how big some of those issues are. Like, we can take for granted a lot of these types of elements, but it changes our lives a lot. Local governance really, really matters. We did hear in there a resolution to not have the yachts in Hanalei Bay. That's a resolution, which is really different than an ordinance. An ordinance can outlaw it. A resolution, that's a state issue. But so Jay Fufaro is saying to the state, hey, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the county council is letting it be known that we're not excited about having these larger than 75-foot yachts in the bay. And we're going to take a call, but after that I do want to just mention a little bit about, like, the private prince development and, like, large landowners. We are a microcosm of what's going on in the country and the world, and we really need to participate and look at what's happening, and it's tough. You can participate a lot, and that doesn't mean that you can necessarily affect change, but if you don't participate, the change happens like a landslide. So I put a thank you out there to all those activists. I'm just going to throw out Karen Diamond's name right now. I want to throw out Hope Kalai's name. There's so many people who are diligent. Barb Robeson's another one. Diligent to constantly be creating a little bit of traction. So big interests have to look over their shoulder to consider, am I going to get away with this? Is somebody watching? Okay, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about one thing, and then, gosh, so many things are going on that there's just so much to talk about. But one thing in particular is the raise that I'm not sure who gave them the raise for the mayor, the chief of police, the fire chief, the planning department.
It hasn't been given yet. That was the salary commission who is suggesting it. So the council has to say yes or no.
Yeah, I'm not for it. I mean, you know, it seems like we're kind of running in the red. So I know that when companies give bonuses, well, the incentive is to do well as a company so that you will receive a bonus. However, in the bailout that, you know, happened when President Obama bailed out specific companies, those companies were able to give themselves bonuses when they really shouldn't have.
Right.
And so I feel the same thing about our county government. I don't think it's warranted at this present time, especially when me being a homeowner and a taxpayer, my taxes have gone up significantly. And, you know, I just don't think it's a good time for that.
I'm in agreement with you. I am very much on that page that the county isn't running efficiently, and it is, even if they are wonderful people who are working really, really hard, and I think for some of them that they definitely fit that description, it's not the time to give the raise. And when I look at it, going, okay, $107,000 a year versus $114,000 a year, they're not struggling. I would have an easier time if it's looking at the person who's cleaning the bathroom in the park, and they're making $25,000 a year, and should we give them 30? Well, that one's easier for me. Maybe yes, because the bathrooms need to be done a little bit better, and that's a hard, dirty job, and maybe this person is barely making it. But we need to really not be expanding our government, be not passing laws that make the execution of what's happening in the government more difficult.
Right, I agree. And then another thing is, one of my friends on Facebook had mentioned that, like, the Robinson family, for instance, on the west side, and looking back in our Hawaiian history, some of these lands, large pieces of property that you were just kind of discussing, and weren't, you know, how were they... received by these families like the Robinsons? Were they just leased, but somehow all of a sudden?
Well, the Robinsons actually paid with gold for their land. I do happen to know that. It was truly a purchase to the Yali'i here. You know, somebody could argue maybe that still wasn't right, but in that case, they didn't lease the land from the Yali'i.
Okay, interesting, because I was wondering why this person would put this information on maybe without doing more research.
Well, and it's hard to get all the research right. Like, if you were to see my computer that I have right here right now, I have all, we didn't go deep into it, but I have all of these economic elements that I kind of didn't get time to talk about, but the game of money, it's very, very hard to follow. We had this G20 summit, and a suggestion was made, but where it really ends up going would be like to implement a new policy on the banks. it's called having a bail-in instead of a bail-out, and it did happen in Cyprus in 2011, where the money that you put in the bank, it's already considered a bank asset. So uh-huh. It's like you're loaning money to the bank, and so what's right. coming up is a new policy. Now, whether that ends up really being implemented, it's certainly under discussion for Europe, but it's like a paper investment, so your money could decline in the bank. And then so, right. so then do you hold your money in the bank any longer? And for myself as not an economist, and I did struggle today trying to find an economist to come in and help me analyze it, and I'm not always able to pull those speakers in, but for Akamai listeners out there, I like having primary source, solid information, or able to interpret it. So people give information. This is free radio, public radio, not public, community radio. People can call in. People can come in. And we basically share our mana'o on air. We work really hard to make sure it's vetted. But even on mainstream media, you know, it's a lot of times it's not much more than propaganda.
Right. Well, you know, I know you're probably winding down, but yeah. I do have one last thing to say,
okay.
and that is I missed Monday's walk with the mayor down Rice Street, which I'm so sad about. But tomorrow at Ha Coffee, I believe from 8 to 9:30, there's a discussion about Rice Street. And as I work in Lihue, and there's really not, you know, Rice Street could be kind of a cool place, you know. But there's now a brewery on Rice Street, you know, with cafe tables out on the street, which I like. And so it's a discussion. Ha Coffee's cool. It's a discussion about planning Rice Street, you know, to be more pedestrian friendly and to try and bring more people to it. And one of the things that my assistant and I came up with was, you know, they have a farmer's market behind Kmart, yet Rice Street next to Central Pacific Bank has a really nice empty parking lot, and it would be nice to bring, you know, a farmer's market to Rice Street. So anyway, I'm going to go attend the meeting and share some good ideas. And
thank you for sharing that. And I had meant to go, and I didn't make it out there, and I want to applaud our planning department, which is filled with a lot of young people who are very impassioned, empowered about what they would like to see. And sometimes I wonder, where do we get the money or the water? But at least they're looking at it and having the conversation. So thank you for calling in. Okay, and then I'm going to leave with a song. I want to put one word out that the Affordable Care Act, the sign-up is November 15th to February 15th, and that website is HawaiiHealthConnector.com. And you know, if you don't have much income, even people who have a decent amount of income can often come into this, and it is really brings the cost down a lot. So HawaiiHealthConnector.com, that is the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare. So thank you, Marshall. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody, for calling in. Have a wonderful night.
Yes, and we are leaving, and Kalalea Kauhani is going to leave with a song that you could hear him play at Kanui Kapono's event as Jazz with John gets ready to pod up. Mahalo for listening to Kauai Soapbox and KKCR. And I'm not good with the songs. Let's see if I can get that coming up here. I did it. Yay. Thank you, thank you. Na 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 na.